So I want to read you a letter tonight. Just imagine if you got a letter from here. Just listen to it, if you will. If I can read it. It says, "Dear brothers, I'm sorry I had to leave so quickly, but I had no choice in the matter. When death calls, you can't bribe it with it as we were able to do the soldiers in our town. I appreciate the nice funeral you gave me, but it didn't work. Hell," it says, "I lifted up my eyes in hell and never imagined the torment could be this bad. Do you remember that old beggar, Lazarus, that sat at the gate full of sores, who died just before I did? I saw him the other day afar off, and he was in Abraham's bosom. Can you imagine that? I tried to get Abraham to send him to me with just one drop of water on my old sore finger to cool my tongue, but he said he couldn't. He couldn't come because of a great gulf between us. Do you know what he told me? He said that I could not go where he is, or he couldn't come to where I am. It sounded to me like I am going to be here forever. Abraham even reminded me of the good things I had in my lifetime, and it was a rebuke for not helping him. Then I said, 'Lazarus can't come to me. Let him go tell my brothers, my boys, where you could not come to this terrible place of torment. Some tried to tell me it isn't as bad as some of you preachers say. If you don't believe it, then it's worse. But Abraham didn't. I seem to have any sympathy for you or me. He said that you had Moses and the prophets, and that you were to hear them. I don't know if they knew they were dead or not. He did say afterwards that if you would not hear the law and the prophets, that you could not hear one who rose from the dead. So, brother, let this letter be a warning to you. This is a place of torment. There are flames in hell. It is inseparable. There is no second chance. It is forever. Don't come to this terrible place. Go where Lazarus is comforted." Now, how would you like to receive a letter from one of your friends like that? Just think about that for a moment. All right. I got some other news for you. Have you heard people say, "Well, this is my body. I'll do with it what I want to"? If you're a Christian, it is not your body. Your body as a Christian is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's a temple of God. So, I mean, look at the way we keep the church up, because it's the house of God. It's clean, it's neat, it's painted, it's all this. And then we would try to do our bodies harm by doing the things that we do for it and do to it. But I want to share with you tonight, purchased by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. We'll not read them. We'll just read the two key verses, verses 19 and 20. Chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We think about ourselves that, well, we can do anything we want to do. And we can't. We can do anything we want to do if we're willing to pay the consequences. Because the Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. That is spiritual death to a Christian. Now, you won't lose your salvation, but I'll tell you what. If you've ever backslidden, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a fun trip. It is definitely not a fun trip. So you see, let's look at these things. long-term, look at it, purchased. Our key verse reveals several important truths. Number one, our bodies is the dwelling place of the Holy God, Spirit of God. Our bodies and our soul are no longer ours if we are saved. God has established the purchase price, and we have agreed. What was that purchase price? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it took to purchase us. God has established the purchase price, and we have agreed. Most believers readily accept truths 1 and 2. Number 1, our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Number 3, God has established the purchase price, and we have agreed. But we kindly look at number 2 and say, nah. Let's look at number 2 again. Our bodies and our soul no longer ours if we're saved. Think about that for a moment. This is my body. No. This is not my body. It was purchased. And I accepted the price that was paid for that. And so we want to do with our bodies what we want to do. Think of the drug addicts. Think of the alcoholics. Think of all the people that destroys their body. And my friends, a long time ago, I almost destroyed mine. Not with drugs, to a point, it was food. At one time, this little fellow that's standing up here right now weighed 286 pounds. Well, God said, okay, that's enough. I've had enough of that. So I became a diabetic. I went into the hospital and stayed 7 days. I went in weighing 287 pounds, coming out weighing 196 pounds. I had a pair of my slacks, Rosa tucked them up, and the back pockets were together. And I could still slide them down over my hips without unbuttoning them. So I was destroying the body that God had given me. Now, I was a Christian. I was a Christian at the time. And I read a verse in the Bible says, he that trusts in the Lord shall be made fat. So I was taking him up on it. But the thing of it was, that wasn't what he wasn't talking about. He was talking about being big in the Lord. And we accept the things that we say that we do, and we work on it, and we're faithful here and we're faithful there. But let's think about it. Our bodies and our soul are no longer ours if we're saved. God has established the purchase price, and we have agreed. Most believers readily accept truth 1 and 2. The real friction for believers is over the truth of 2 above. When you buy something, you want exclusive ownership. Okay, let's say we buy a car together. Okay, we purchase a car together, and I drive it all the time. What are you going to do? You're paying on the payment. You're helping pay for the car, and I'm doing the driving of it all the time. You never see the car. Think about that for a moment. God purchased us. And Christians, we should always be visible in church. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together or something. We're purchased. We're bought with a price. How is the world going to know that we're Christians if we're not in church? Now, church don't make you a Christian. Don't get me wrong. You can walk through that door, a law center, and leave out the door, a law center too. The church has nothing to do with it. It's the Word of God. And a church that doesn't preach the Word of God is not a church. It's a social gathering. So you see, we have this thing. The last thing you want to is the prior owner controlling it. Dual ownership typically creates very serious problems. Can you say you have relinquished the ownership of yourself? Think about that for a moment. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Now, you say, well, you're preaching to the choir. Am I? God gave me this message for some reason. If not for you, but for me. But you see, we got to see here. Purchased. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And I want to tell you something. The price they paid for us was not cheap either. When we go to make a deal for a car or something, we try to get the best deal we can get. God didn't do that. God paid the dearest price for that. And if you've ever lost a child, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I didn't sacrifice my son. I didn't give him up. He didn't die on no cross. Yet he went home to be with the Lord. And I missed him. But you see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you see, God really, really, truly love us. And I got to thinking the other day. Now, I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody. I'm just saying, I got to thinking the other day. Just suppose God was as faithful to us as we are to him. Think about that for a moment. If God is faithful for us as we are to him, what kind of Christian would we be? What kind of God would he be? Well, Jim Smith, he can do without me today. He can get along with me. There's a lot of other, there's a lot of things he can do. But no. We need God every day. And you know what? God wants us every day. He wants us every day doing what he has for us to do. Well, it's Wednesday night. I think I'll stay. I'm tired. I worked hard today. Not me. I didn't work hard today. I worked hard today, so I think I'll just stay at home tonight. But what if Jesus, after he carried that cross up to Calvary's mountain, what if he said, Lord, I'm too tired now. I don't think I'll die on the cross for those people. We say that when we don't come to church. The Bible says, forsake not yourselves assembling together as some are. When we don't come to church, we're forsaking God. Oh, but I can do just as good at home as I can in church. No, you can't. Number one, you don't have the fellowship with the brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you something, my friends. You'll never know how important that is until you can't have the fellowship with them. Say, oh, but they don't like me. How do you know? How do you know that nobody likes you? I've always said, if nobody else loves me, God does. And I found out a long time ago that if you don't love yourselves, you can't love anybody else. I mean, I just don't go around doting on myself all the time. You can tell that by looking at me. But I'm saying, we need to love who we are. I don't love what I am. I love who I am. And that is a child of God. Man, I tell you, that's exciting to me. When I was a kid growing up at home, nobody loved me. Nobody loved me at all. The only time I think my dad really loved me is when he's beating the tar out of me. Oh, this is going to hurt you more than me, then why ain't you crying instead of me? And sometimes we do God that way. God, why are you doing this to me? Is it really God doing it to us? Or are we doing it to ourselves? Think about those things. The design, okay. Well, preacher, so I've been purchased from sin and Satan. However, I don't want to relinquish control of my body. First, let's understand God's design in this important issue. Back in Romans chapter 6, we see God's design for us. First, we are known. We are crucified with Christ, verse 6. Secondly, we are reckoned to be true, verse 11. Thirdly, we are consecrated our lives, verse 13. And the word yielded also means to present. How well do you like it when you're driving down the road and you come to this yield sign? And I have learned one important lesson. Slow down. Because that idiot in the other car can't read. I have almost gotten clobbered 2 or 3 times because they don't know what yield means. And this is what we need to do. We need to learn to yield. Yield our lives to God. First, it means to give. The word yield also means to present. We're to present our body. Here the word yield is the weightier definition. Yield what? Ourselves. Yield to whom? Unto God. This is not the beginning, the old man, to Christ for control. It is not given to God the old nature with its instincts. It is not giving to God our nature, natural talent or wisdom. This is about our new resurrection, resurrected life in Christ. We are to take what he has passed through death with Christ. We are to take this new life in Christ and consecrate it to God. To yield is to give the right of way to another. This has involved giving away my will and all else to God. Lord, I want to do this, Lord. But Lord says, I want you to do this. Sunday mornings. I mean, I can't wait to get to church. If you don't believe it, come here. I'm here at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm here because I love church. I love the people. And I love our pastor and his family. He's not only my pastor, but he's my friend. I've known him as longer than I've known some of you. In fact, Peggy has still never liked me because I was the one who got him up here. But you see, Christians can have friends. But there's no greater friend than Jesus. Oh my goodness, what a friend we have in Jesus. Knowing this to be so, whom do I belong to? God. To whom does my health and finances belong to? God. Oh, wait a minute, that's me. My health and finances belong to me. No. It belongs to God. But I work for that money. It's mine. No. You only work for it because God allowed you to work. A few years ago, I went to the doctor. I didn't know anything was wrong. I passed out before I went to the doctor. That's why I went to the doctor. I passed out. I went to the doctor, and the doctor says, "You have any heart problems?" I said, "No." And this one old doctor looked and he says, "You do now." So they put me a pacemaker in. 6 months later, I passed out again. And I had people come to my house and look at the place I passed out in. It was the bathroom. Every time I passed out in the bathroom. And so they said, what happened? The pacemaker was working. But then they says, we got to do something to your heart. So they cut me open, took my heart out and played with it a little bit. And then they put two stents in it and sewed me back up. I got a new heart. A man-made job. Over 53 or 54, some, I forget how many years ago, I did get a new heart. When Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved me, I got a new heart. Friends, let me tell you something. Everything I have right now belongs to God. My life, my finances, my family, they all belong to God. They come before my God comes before my family, and they've accepted that. And I've accepted the fact in my family, God comes before me to them. But you see, God has a plan, and God has a purpose for our life. To whom do I might as well skip this one. To whom do my talent and wisdom belongs to? I'll skip that one. I don't have any of them. I tried singing. They turned the radio up. I have no talent. I can't even draw a straight line with a ruler. So I'm not an artist. My dad told me I was an artist one time. He says, your face draws flies. But you see, everything that I have and everything you have should belong to God. Everything. Family, everything. All right. He says, Pastor, I believe that God understands my situation. You're right. He does understand. He understands that you're not willing to consecrate your life. He understands the old nature and flesh still reigns in your life. Therefore, it is you and I that do not understand God. The God understands routine is always linked to our flesh. Oh, God understands I can't pay my tithes this week. God understands I can't give my mission offering this week. God understands that I need to stay at home today. God understands I need to go stay home tonight. Yeah, He understands. He understands it's your flesh that wants that and desires that. Friends, I want to be in this church every time the doors open. Because there's always a blessing if we will accept the blessings that God gives us. I have some friends. I think I have friends in this church. Sometimes I'm not really sure, but most of the time I am. I have friends in this church that are dear friends. But I tell you what, greater love hath no man than he that would lay down his life for a friend. And I thank God tonight, my friends, that I am a friend to Jesus, because he laid down his life for me. Thank God for that. All right. I got about 15 other things to say, but I won't because it's getting pretty late. So you have a decision to make tonight. Are you going to be a servant or a slave? A servant of Jesus Christ or a slave to the old nature? Which one are you going to do? You cannot serve God without being consecrated to Him. If we give ourselves over unreserved to the God, you can expect there will have to be adjustments made in our lives. There will have to be adjustments made in our families. There will have to be adjustments made in our business. There will have to be adjustments made in our relationship. God is not going to let anything of the old self remain. Many desires to be like the Apostle Paul, but they won't give up that over ownership of their lives to God. Once I have established the right ownership of my life, that I dare no longer to seek my own interest. Until I do, I'll not understand why, what and why he is asking of me, the which he seeks for my life. May we be possessed with the conscience of who owns us. Oh, it's my body. I'm going to do with it what I want to. Not if you're a Christian, it's not your body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, let's bow our heads. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And Father, we thank you most of all for all that you've done for me. And Father, I pray now that your will would be done. I pray that you'd be in the remainder of the services tonight. Lord, we pray that your will would be done. So, Lord, speak to our hearts through your word tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do now. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
I don't usually do this on Wednesday night, but I think we ought to have a little bit of an invitation here, don't you? Let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord one more time here tonight. I didn't ask you with your heads bowed tonight if God's spoken to you. It was a very direct message. I like what Brother Jim had to say about adjustments. And I believe all of us in our walk with God, we have to make some adjustments along the way. Because by the time we think we've got a handle on it, we find out that we really don't. And the Spirit of God begins to speak to us. You can raise up whatever objections you want to. I'm going to tell you something right now tonight, that God's going to bring all those objections crashing. There is something that he wants from you and me, and Brother Jim said it very excellently tonight. And that is, he wants that relationship between ourselves and him be unencumbered by sin. And you may even feel like you're getting blessings from the Lord. But don't hold out for very long if you're not living inwardly and outwardly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those blessings are going to dry up. Because God wants to bring you. He doesn't want to encourage you to stay in your sin. He wants to bring you out of it. Come while you can tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me tonight? The Spirit has spoken to me. Yes. How about tonight? Yes, God's spoken to you tonight. This is so very important that we don't try to rationalize and reason away God. It's just not worth it. I talked to my grandson and I said, Gabriel, I've been where you are and I know what's coming down the pike for you. Get into church. Get into a good college and career group, and this is a good church right here. We were out there in Indiana. Folks, I believe you're in a good church because there's a lot of people in here, able teachers, able preachers. You can't walk out of here tonight and say, well, when God begins to lower the boom, when God begins to pull the rug out from underneath you, you can't say, well, no one ever told me. You've been told. And surely that rich man in hell, he didn't believe. He probably thought he was A-okay. Folks, you're never A-okay until God is number one and you're walking in obedience to him. Anyone else tonight? Preacher, pray for me in closing tonight. Yes. Preacher, would you pray for me? Oh, Father, again, we just thank you for the message we've heard. And, Lord, it is really a reality check for all of us. Lord, to make sure that each and every day, we may start out with a wonderful day. But as we come to the close of that day, we have to realize that, boy, yeah, we kind of got in the flesh a little bit here, maybe a little bit in the flesh there, and we have to make some adjustments. Because, Lord, we don't want to do the same thing day after day. We want to grow. We want our fellowship to increase. We want it to get sweeter and sweeter with each and every passing day. So, Father, speak to all of us. Those who raise your hands tonight, Lord, as you have spoken to their hearts. Lord, we give you the praise as you continue to work in all our hearts and all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have a couple here tonight. We write them down, if you would. Mr. Codis. Okay. Josiah's violin teacher. Got to do that. He has just been diagnosed with cancer, and that's important for us to pray for this guy. Is he saved, you know? Josiah's violin teacher is. Do you know if he's saved or not? Can you hear what I'm saying?
I didn't hear
Okay, I didn't know for sure if, if you didn't have a prayer card, get one up here. What I'm just saying is, do you know if Josiah's violin teacher is a Christian?
I really don't keep up with
religion. Oh, okay. Well, we'll pray for him. If he's not, we'll pray for salvation anyway. We'll pray for God's will there. Yeah, Daniel Hall underwent a solar plexus surgery there for a concave chest. And Kyron Horton, let's pray for him. For a missionary to lose $700, that's like losing life savings, really. So we pray that they'll be able to get all this made up. Again, put Teresa Quinlan and Sean Quinlan as well. Sometimes God has to speak to us in different ways to move us. And so this will maybe move Dan in a good, solid direction to really get really involved in Victory Baptist and get that thing really rolling underway. And, of course, for Sean, God doesn't want him doing what he's doing over there. He's doing a great work. They got a big building over there. They're reaching. Souls are getting saved. The ministry is just reaching out. And he's doing this in spite of the fact that he's had these horrendous, horrendous headaches. And so and now they found it. They got him on some steroids and a few things like that. Just kind of really pray that these steroids will have a positive impact and not a negative necessarily on that there. So if you can do that, Brother Jim, if you get us going on these long terms. Justin, you're back there, buddy, and pregnancies along the way. And we praise God. We've gotten a lot of pictures in from Lillian Grace Labrie, our great-granddaughter. And she's almost as bald as her dad, but not quite. Not quite. But appreciate your prayers for them as well. Salvations, spiritual needs and growth there. Steve, would you hit those? And Jack, how about salvations there? Would you do that? Mike Doolin, how about these short-term prayer requests? Could you get those for us in there? Then I'll close for these the other names in there. So, thank you.
Father, give tonight, Lord, we come to be thankful that we have a God that hears and answers prayer. Father, we come to you tonight.